as a series of situations where Christ speaks openly and honestly about the reality of following him. And the first one is found in verses 57 and 58. Let's look at those verses and notice it says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." In other words, I want to go with you wherever you go. Verse 58. "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." I think everybody understands what Jesus was saying there. Here's a man who comes to him and says, you know, Lord, in other words, Master, you're the one that I want to be a disciple of. My desire is that wherever you go, I want to follow you. I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus let him know, if you're going to follow me, Jesus didn't tell him, don't follow me. He just wanted him to know, listen, this is the way it's going to be. Even the animals that you see in nature, the foxes, the birds, etc., they have places that they can call home, and I don't have a home. Now, it's not that Jesus never had a place to lay his head. Obviously, he did. We even read about some of those places. But he was basically saying there's no one place that's mine that I can call my own, that I can say, this is home for me. I go wherever the Father's will is. And you and I need to understand, if we are to be disciples of Jesus, and friends, please grasp this. If you are going to be a true follower of Jesus, it means this, that you will have no permanent home. No permanent home. It's not that you and I will never have a place to lay our head. Again, Jesus had places where he laid his head. We read in some parts where they went to the house of Peter and his family was there and they stayed there and there were people who ministered to him. There were people who allowed him to come into their home and stay with him. But it's this fact that Jesus didn't have one place that was his own. It's not that you and I can never own a home or rent an apartment or have a place that we would consider home. I would encourage you that Jesus does not want you to be homeless. His desire is that you would have a place that would be yours, a place that is shelter for you, and again, where you can lay your head. That's not what Jesus is trying to say, that if you're going to follow me, you're going to be homeless. But here's what he is saying, you'll have no permanent home. You and I must be willing to give that up if the Lord chooses. In other words, this, that wherever you live now, you need to be willing to give that up if the Lord chooses to call you to do or to go somewhere else. And let me ask you this question. Just meditate on this for just a minute. Think about your home. And what if God asked you to leave that right now, to let it go, to sell it all, and go somewhere else? Are you willing? Because that is part of the cost of discipleship. I don't want to beautify things for you and make it seem like serving the Lord is just, you know, fun and roses and butterflies and rainbows. Jesus doesn't want you to think that either. He wants you to understand this is what his ministry was. And if you're going to be his disciple, this is the ministry you'll have as well. That's a difficult thing. There's something in us that desires a home. I can't speak for you, but I enjoy travel. One of my favorite genres of television to watch is travel shows. I like that kind of stuff. I watch Rick Steves' Europe sometimes. Some of those episodes you can't watch. But I watch those, and I like to watch him travel, and I like other people, and mainly I like the ones where they go to other countries and eat the food. Those are the most fun. And I enjoy those. You ever seen the ones from Vietnam where they take the big spiders and they batter them and fry them? Have you ever seen that? Well, you need to watch those. That's fun. What if God calls you to a place like that? I like to travel, but one of the interesting things is whenever I do travel, I always think to myself, I never want to leave home ever again. I enjoy home. And you know that especially ladies have a tendency to really want a place that is their own and a place to call home. I don't know if it's a nesting instinct or what, but God put that in ladies. They want a home. Well, you know, if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you have to let that go. It's not that you can never have it, but you have to hold it very loosely. And constantly, over and over and over, you need to be reminding yourself this, that if the Lord asks for this, I will give it to Him. If the Lord asks for this, I'll give it to Him. If the Lord asks for this, I'll give it to Him. Lord, this doesn't belong to me, it belongs to You. If You want it, it's Yours. Young men, let me say to you, if you feel called to go into the ministry, you need to remember this when it's time to look for a mate, a help meet for you. You need to choose a young lady that's willing to let it all go. And if she's not willing to let it all go, if she's holding on to the things of this world tightly, then she's not for you if you're going to be in the ministry. Because part of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus is not having a permanent home. That's a high cost. Look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter number 10. Turn over there with me if you would. Keep your place in Luke 9. Mark chapter number 10 and verse 17. Mark 10 and verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17, notice what the Bible tells us. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said to him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Now notice verse 28, Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers, and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. What I want to point out to you from that passage of Scripture is this. After Jesus got done talking to that rich young ruler who was trying to gain heaven by good works, and Jesus laid it all out there for him, it wasn't that Jesus was saying you can get to heaven by doing good works, but Jesus was touching his God is what Jesus was doing. And basically saying, if you're going to get to heaven by good works, you got to deal with your God. And of course, it wasn't going to happen. And then Peter says, look, we've left all and followed you. What do we get out of this? And so I want to point out to you what Jesus said that they would get out of this as they follow him. And if you're going to follow Jesus and you don't have a permanent home, here's what God promises you. Here's what he promises. He says that if you've left anything for him, then he will give you even more than that in this life. Now you'll have persecutions with it. But he'll multiply things way better for you than what you ever could have gained for yourself by holding tightly onto the things of this world. And also, in the world to come, you're going to have eternal life. So you and I need to understand that if we give things up for the Lord, he makes it worth your while. God is not going to leave you hanging. It's like the song that Darlene sang right before the message, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. If you give up having a permanent home for God, he'll take care of you. And I want to pound this truth home, and especially to the young people here, if you're wondering about serving God and whether or not it's worth it to serve God, I want you to understand this truth. God knows how to make you happier than you can make yourself. And I say that with some passion because, listen, it's not that I've always done everything right, but I've had the opportunity to live the Christian life since the time I was a little boy. My parents were in church and always in church from the time I was conceived. And I grew up in a pastor's home, and I got saved early in life, and I watched. Listen, I know you may think it's a little strange, but when I was your age, I had friends. And we played together after church, and we had a good time, and we talked about normal things that other kids talk about. When I was your age and a young person, a teenager or younger than a teenager, I didn't always just talk about ministry things. I talked about football. I talked about fishing and hunting and all those things. Manly things, by the way. I talked about those things, and we goofed around, and we had a good time. Sometimes I got in trouble. But I've had the privilege now to walk this path for a while, and it's been God's grace that has allowed me to be a disciple of Jesus. Not perfect, and I'm going to have a lot to answer for when I get to heaven. But I've been able to be a disciple of Jesus, and I've walked the path, and I've watched. Listen, I watched as almost every single one of the friends that I had did not walk the discipleship path. Not all of them, but a lot of them, their lives are broken. Their lives are a mess. They've sold themselves, not all of them, but some of them, and I can think of one specific right now that was a dear friend, and we spent a lot of time together, and I've watched as he's gone. It's not that he hates God, but he's gone away where he's trying to get things, and he's holding tightly onto the things of this world. And listen, he's on his second marriage already, and he's miserable. Now he has all the things that money could want. But I look and say, well, you know, God's been real good to me. I wake up in the morning and I think about my wife and I think about my children and I think about even the place that the Lord allows me to live right now, and I think, wow, God, you've been so good to me. You've fulfilled what Mark 10 says here, that if I would be your disciple, you'd take care of me in this life. Now, the honest truth of the matter is, if the Lord says tomorrow, if he says to me, you need to move, then I need to move. If the Lord says tomorrow, your kids are going to serve me in another land, I need to be willing to let them go. You won't get to grow up with your grand, or you won't get to watch your grandkids grow up around you. They're going to be in other parts of the world serving me as missionaries, or other parts of this world, land as pastors, or even just laymen or whatever. Then I need to be say, all right, Lord, they're yours, not mine. I need to hold them loosely. But here's what I know. God will take care of me even in that instance. And he'll give me joy and rejoicing. He'll do the same for you. And if you're going to be his disciple, you'll have no permanent home. And this is a cost of discipleship that keeps a lot of people from being disciples of Jesus Christ. It's not that they're bad people, but they're not really willing to be disciples. Look with me, if you would, at Luke chapter number 9. Let's look at the second situation here that Jesus uses to show us the reality of following him. It's in verse 59 and 60. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me, or that means allow me, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So not only can I not have a permanent home if I'm going to be a disciple, but I cannot have sentimental ties. I cannot have sentimental ties. Here's a man that, now this time, by the way, the guy didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came to the individual. And Jesus came to him and said, follow me. And the man said, okay, I will. Or he didn't say that, but he said, here's what I want to do first. Before I follow you, let me go and bury my father. Now, is that a wrong thing to do? No, that's a right thing to do. The word of God is clear. Honor your father and your mother. But before this guy would follow Jesus, he first had to go and bury his father. And Jesus' response was, let the dead bury their dead. In other words, it's not that it was wrong to want to bury his father, but listen, you've got something that's more important to do than even that. Let those who are not concerned about the things of life, let the dead bury the dead. There are others who can take care of that. Stay focused. By the way, that's a good thing for you and me to remember, even in these days. We have a job to do. There are a lot of distractions that we can get involved in. But there are other people who can handle those things. Let's stay focused, because if we don't preach the gospel, who will? There aren't very many churches in Madison that will really preach the gospel. That's the job that God's given us. So let's do the job that is in front of us. So here's the interesting thing about that. It's not that you and I have to treat our friends and relatives badly. It's not that you and I can never have any good times with them. It's that they are not to have your heart. Your friends and your relatives, the sentimental ties that you would have should not have your heart. They should be secondary. Look with me, if you would, at Luke 14 and verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. Luke 14 and verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, Jesus, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Friends, do you understand what Jesus was saying there as the crowds and the multitudes followed him? Is if you want to be my disciple, you have to hate every other relationship, including your own life. Wow, that seems strong. Remember, he's not saying you need to detest them. He's not saying you need to abhor them. He uses the word hate. And hate is not all about feeling. We've made it about feeling. But that's not what the word hate means. Just like love is not about feeling, it's an action. And hatred is the same thing. It's not abhor, it's not detest. It's listen, they need to be secondary. If you're going to follow me, I must be primary. And the same is true today. If you and I are going to be his disciples, then those sentimental ties can't have first place with you and me. Even husband and wife. Wow. Now, don't get me wrong. God's not going to lead you to leave your wife to serve him. He's not going to lead you, wife, to leave your husband so that you can serve God. He's not going to lead you to break his word to serve him. But what he is going to tell you to do is this. He's going to say, you can't base whether or not you serve me on what your wife thinks. That's hard for us as men, by the way. I would serve the Lord, but my wife is not real keen on the idea. Hey, do you love God or do you love your wife? I would serve the Lord, but my husband's not real keen on the idea. Have you read Luke 14? By the way, men, you need to lead your wife, not let her lead you. It doesn't mean you drag her. It doesn't mean you make her. It means you show leadership. And here's what leadership looks like. Leadership looks like this. Sweetheart, this is what God wants us to do. I can see in his word, the Holy Spirit's guiding me in this. This is what we need to do. Sweetheart, I certainly want you to follow me. You need to follow me. This is where we need to go. But sweetheart, whether you go with me or not, I'm serving God, and here I go. Please follow me. That's leadership. Not, sweetheart, would you be okay with this? Would it be all right? Can you handle this? Listen, friends, lead in leadership. But the cost of discipleship means no sentimental ties. Jesus gets first. And even if it puts a strain on relationships, I have to serve the Lord Jesus. And friends, that's a difficult one. That's a hard one. Can I tell you, though, that anything less than serving the Lord Jesus is trivial? Even the relationships that we have here, though they are near and dear to us, they're trivial. Serving the Lord is the best life that you can ever live. And it's worth it. I want to encourage you, young men, consider that if you want to serve the Lord. God has to have first place. Not the beautiful young lady that you're going to choose for your bride. God. Young ladies, if you're going to serve the Lord, you need to consider that. And obviously, I would encourage you, talk to your parents about that, and especially your dad, and ask him, say, do you think this guy that I'm interested in or is interested in me, do you think that he'll really serve God with all of his heart? Or do you think he'll impede my service for the Lord? Because Jesus Christ needs to have first place. Let me give you the third thing from Luke chapter number 9. We've looked at no permanent home. We've looked at no sentimental ties. Let's look at verses 61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The first reality of serving the Lord and being his disciple is no permanent home. The second is no sentimental ties. The third is no looking back. No looking back. Jesus used the illustration of a plow. Now, nowadays, I've not been involved in farming at any time in my life. I obviously grew up around it. My dad talked farming a lot. My relatives had all been in it. A lot of people that I know and all of that were farmers. But one of the things I know about modern farming is it's a little different than what it was in my dad's day and my grandfather's day. Nowadays, they get in the tractor and that GPS on the tractor guides it and they make their rows real precise and everything's just perfect. But back in the day, when they were using a horse or a mule or oxen to plow a field, one of the important things about putting your hand to the plow is once you get in that plow and once you tell that mule or oxen or whatever to go forward, you need to keep looking forward. Because if you're plowing and you do this, your row is going to go like this. And if you go that way, your row is going to go that way. The important part about plowing is keep your eyes straight on. If you will keep your eyes straight on, that row will be straight. And you know, it's the same way with discipleship. Jesus gives us that example. If we start out in discipleship, but we turn around and look back to the things that we've given up, then friends, we're going to go crooked. We're going to get off the path. And friends, if you and I are going to be the disciples of Jesus, we cannot look back. It's not that you can't treat your loved ones well. It's not that you can't enjoy the little things in life. It's not that you can't stop and smell the roses. However, it is imperative that once we put our hands to the plow, we keep our eyes looking straight on. Don't let your eyes turn back to the things of the world. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. And this pandemic has caused many Christians, many, to turn back to the things of the world. To get caught up in the affairs of this life, to get more lukewarm about the things of God than ever before. And I want to encourage you, if you're going to be a disciple, you can't do that. Look with me at Proverbs 4. Why is it important that I not look back? Why is it important that I leave those things be? Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. While you're turning there, I'll give you an illustration of this. I remember those of you who know the story of my dad and how he got saved later in life. I believe he was in his late 30s when he got saved. And there's a miraculous story how God brought him to the place where he believed the gospel. But very soon after that, he went into the ministry. And that was a very hard decision. He sold the family farm, which is up not far from Omro here in Wisconsin, sold the family farm and went to Bible college and soon became a pastor of a church and all of that. That was all before I was born. And when I was a little kid and we lived here,
My dad and I, on Mondays, Monday was the day that he would take off, we would often go up to the area of the state where he grew up, and we'd go fishing up there, or we'd go hunting or something like that. And when we would drive around that area, he would say things to me like, "Oh, I miss it here." He would say things to me like, "Oh, son, you have no idea what this feels like to me to drive through these roads again." And he missed the farm life. He missed growing up there. And who could blame him going from farm life to living in Madison? What a difference, huh? And he would miss those things. Now, look at what verse 20 says of Proverbs 4. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Keep, notice verse 23, "keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And the word keep means to guard. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Now notice verse 25, still in the realm of keeping your heart. "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Why is it that God does not want you to look back? The reason is because God knows that where your eyes go, your heart will follow. Just like that plowing, if you'll keep your eyes straight on, then you'll plow straight. But if you're looking back, you will automatically go this way. It works the same way driving a car, doesn't it? You're driving a car and you're looking this way at your cell phone. Uh-oh, don't do that. Then you're going to have a tendency to veer to the right. Where your eyes go, your heart follows. And God knows that if you don't keep your eyes on Him, if you're looking back, then you will eventually go back. And the important thing is to keep your heart. So please know this. If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then please keep in your mind that you must keep your eyes looking straight ahead. You need to be like a horse that a farmer would use for plowing. And remember, they used to put blinders on their horses. Why? So the horse wouldn't be distracted by other things. And God wants you to put blinders on. Other people will be looking this way. Other people will be looking that way. Other people will be enamored with the things of this world. And other Christians will even be enamored by them and taken up with them and going that direction. But you're not just a Christian, you're a disciple. And others may look back, you can't. But friends, can I encourage you with this? You'll be glad you didn't. When you get to heaven, you'll be glad you were a disciple. You'll be glad you followed Jesus. Now please don't mistake this message for a message that's just for those who are called into full-time ministry. I want you to understand, this is not about being in full-time Christian service. This is about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That means that if your job is a secular job, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus means you go to that job not just so you can earn money. You go to that job because that's a means to an end. That is the place that you serve the Lord. That means that if you're a housewife, that you're raising your kids not just so that you can have the enjoyment of raising kids, but you're raising those children for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple. That everything you do, whatever that is, and if God calls you into full-time ministry, that you do it. But whatever you do for the Lord. That means that if you're doing it for the Lord, that He may call you to change what you're doing. You might have to live a little bit of a different lifestyle, maybe one that's quite a bit lower than what you could live because God's calling on you to give more to missions. Or maybe even to save some of that money and go on missions trips and help out a missionary and use it for them and encourage them or whatever it might be. But be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. No permanent home, no sentimental ties, and no looking back. I'm glad that God is honest with us. Will you still be a disciple? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sharing with us the truth of what it is to be a disciple. I thank you, Lord, that you don't mince words, you don't paint a false picture, that you give us the truth. Now, Lord, I pray, would you use this message in my life and the life of everyone here that we would know what it is to be a disciple? Would you give us even a willingness to be disciples? Lord, would you remind us of the great benefits that there are in discipleship? That you will take care of us here in this life. You'll give us joy. You'll make us happy. And in the life to come, we'll get to enjoy the benefits of all that we did for you. Now, Lord, would you help us with that? Lord, would you encourage each one of us to do business with you this morning? In Jesus' name, amen.